Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
So, six game weeks of the season to go. We are here with all your FPL advice. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Excited. Well, I'm not really that excited because I've been in the exact same position for the last 25 game weeks. But I think it'll be an exciting end to the season.
Yeah, I think.
And hopefully Liverpool don't win the league.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm in the Gary Neville position of choosing who you want to sleep with your partner. Your whatever. I can't remember the analogy that he said now about choosing between Liverpool and City to win the title. But as a United fan, I mean, I don't really have a preference for this. I think I'd probably prefer Liverpool to win it. I know that's not the kind of standard Man United answer, but I just prefer them as a club to City. Anyway, we're digressing already, and we've only got half an hour. This is FPL. We're talking FPL. Yeah, I'm excited for the final six game weeks of the season. I'll do a very, very brief rundown of my team. I know we've not recorded properly for a bit, so I got 66 in game week 32, and a slight red arrow. I mean, not owning Son, the damage wasn't too bad because I've got Captain Kane, I've got Kulusevski, the double Chelsea defence came through, Thiago Silva and Rudiger with the clean sheet. So it kind of didn't hurt as much as it could have done when a highly owned player scores a hat trick. But overall rank, I can't complain at this. 7,215 is my overall rank at the moment.
So
I've got to cement that top 10K status, and I've still got bench boost and free hit. So I'm really kind of excited about that. I kind of wish I'd used my bench boost, to be honest, because it's such a difficult chip to navigate. But I've got it in the back pocket. It's there, ready to go. I may even play it this week, but let's talk about that. But yeah, 7,215, ready to smash these last few game weeks. I'm gonna talk really quickly today because we've only got half an hour and I've got loads I want to say because I've missed FPL and I've missed you two. But Rich, my co-host, we're Triple Captain. We're at FPL Triple Cap on socials. I'm Luke Jurdy.
It's an electric start to the podcast this week.
It's Clive Tilsley 99. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy, and my co-host as always is Rich Wolfenden. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm gonna calm it down a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm fine. All good. Like I said just at the beginning there, like, I've not really moved, and again I've just stayed in that same bracket of between 100k and like 250k. So I've gone down at 160 to 200k, which was a real sickener. And you know what? I didn't prepare myself for this game week well enough. I didn't do enough research, didn't do enough studies. And then it got to about 15 minutes before the deadline. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't made any transfers. So there's like a few YouTubers and a few Twitter accounts that I follow, quickly saw what they were doing. And they were all like, Iheanacho's going to bag this week. And he didn't even play. So what a transfer that was. I took out Watkins, and he didn't do anything either. So whatever. Didn't take a hit or anything. So Iheanacho got me not in. Overall, I got 45 points. Very disappointing. Below the average for, I think, maybe the fourth time this season. So it could have been a lot worse. But the main killer for me this week was that I should have transferred out Luis Diaz and brought in Kulusevski. But because I was so panicked and I didn't do my research enough or plan ahead enough, I'd City defenders, Liverpool attackers, And it was just many clashes going on across the pitch. So there was a lot of bad stuff going on. But yeah, finished on 45. 20 of those came from Captain Kane. So the rest of the team was pretty poor, in all honesty. But yeah, that is that. Ben, what about you?
Hello, I'm Ben. I'm the producer of this podcast, and I am 280,000. So I'm catching you boys up.
Oh, not he's you, close Luke. To Rich. He's close
but
to
I'm
Rich.
I'm close to you, Rich. I've got a free hit and a bench boost in
Come
the back
on.
Pocket as
Come
well.
Come on.
Oh, he's going to do it.
Tell me, please. Someone else left Ivan Toney on the bench with 12 points this week, didn't they?
I don't own him. I stupidly took him out for Weghorst. I mean, I got seduced by all Weghorst fixtures, and it's just been absolutely awful. I so wish I'd kept Toney massively on form. But yeah, you shouldn't have benched him.
I know. And instead, I started Daniel James. Not Daniel James. I keep getting my James
mixed James.
Up.
Reece James.
Right. Yes, I started Reece James.
I get that,
we
though.
He played 27 minutes.
Oh, so you would have had Toney off the bench if Reece James didn't come on.
Yeah, would have had Toney off the bench.
It's a shame.
It is. I hate those kind of things at FPL. I love this game, and certain moments that you just crass.
My bench this week: Dubravka 7, Dyer 6, Gordon 10.
Okay, yeah, that makes me feel better.
Dubravka got 7.
I mean, yeah, I could have played the bench boost this week, but Broja was ineligible to play, so I was like, I can't do it. Gordon was playing United. Never bench your players that are playing against United. Never bench them.
Because from a United fan.
There is always a chance. I mean, United don't even keep clean sheets. But hey, anyway, right, let's kick off. What I'd love to do is just reverse what we normally do and just start with questions from the Discord, because everybody's active as always on there, and I feel like we've neglected the Discord recently. So I think let's jump in, and I think... Great, great first question here, Ben, for us with free hit and bench boost. Alexander from the Discord: when's best to use remaining chips? For example, I've still got 2 free hit and a bench boost. Ooh. And looking like 3 double game weeks to use them. So when is best to use remaining chips? What about, I mean, a lot of people have got wild cards still. A lot of people have got free hits left. Ben and I have got a bench boost and a free hit left. Alexander has got 2 free hits and a bench boost. When is the best time to use these chips?
It's game week 36 where there's this huge double game week, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that, if you've got 1 free hit, it just makes so much sense to have it in there for me. You've just got so much wriggle room. Surely that's got to be the only answer. If you've got 2 free hits, there's no time like the present. Why don't you do it this game week? Or, to make it really, really bloody exciting, do it on the last day of the season.
Yeah,
probably not good advice, but to make it really exciting, you could do that.
I think it is, Rich. I think if you're in a good position, I don't know what Alexander's team looks like. It's all team dependent, this, of course, and I don't know what his rank is. But I think you're absolutely right. If you've got 2 free hits and a bench boost left and you're in a good position, why not wait till that last game week of the season? Always mad things happen on the final game week of the season, don't they? It's high scoring. Teams that have still got to play for. Other teams are on the beach. It's a real chance to gain rank. And I mean, if no opportunity arises to use my free hit until then, I'd happily use it on that last game week of the season. It gives you such an advantage, particularly if you're in a good position like me, and you can kind of defend. So I think, no qualms about saving. I mean, particularly if you've got 2 free hits left. But yeah, I mean, it's all team dependent. I think if you've got a bench boost left, like me, and you haven't got a wild card, I think you've got to prioritise getting it out of the way, because there's lots of options coming in now, and you don't want a team full of players that could potentially sit on the bench. Like, I've got all of my players, apart from Rafinha, who blanks this week. Well, including Rafinha, of course, they're all starters for their team. Mm. And that's not a bad thing, but the money is really spread around. And what I'd love to do is take Weghorst out for, you know, a 4.5 striker, maybe even downgrade one of the midfielders as well. I mean, I don't know, or downgrade one of the defenders, just in order to put that money elsewhere. So I think bench boost, I mean, I could even play bench boost this week. I think it would be a bit of a risk. And obviously, that I think if you've got a wild card in hand, save the bench boost. Wild card, I think a lot of people are saying wild card in 34. Apologies, because I haven't got a wild card. I haven't done a huge amount of research into this, but I know a lot of the community and the good people that play FPL are saying wildcard in 34 in order to set your team up for a bench boost in 36 for that huge double game week. So I think that would give you a big advantage, because as we say, that double game week is big. But if you don't have a wild card, I would get that bench boost out of the way. Free hits, what do we think about free hit this week? It's viable, but I just don't see that many great options standing out from the teams that double.
Who are the teams that are doubling up for this game week, just to get it out of the way early?
Yes, good.
Arsenal.
Good shout.
Southampton and Chelsea, both away. Brighton have got Tottenham and Man City, both away. Burnley have got West Ham at home. West Ham away, Southampton at home. Leicester have got Newcastle and Everton, both away. And then you've got Man United playing Norwich and then Liverpool. Newcastle playing Leicester and Crystal Palace, both at St James's. And Southampton playing Arsenal and Burnley. So yeah, there's also great options there.
There's also blanks for Wolves, Villa,
Leicester
and Leeds.
Wolves, yeah.
No blank for Leicester.
Leeds.
Yeah.
Leicester got a double.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's a lot's going to depend on the result tonight for Leicester against PSV. Mm. If they go through in Europe, there's going to be more rotation. So it's a risk putting Leicester players in your team. If they go out of Europe, they've only got the league to focus on. And whilst their league position is you know, pretty secure, there's a potential they could be on the beach. But I think you've got to target Leicester assets. They've got a double in 33. They've got a double in 36. They've got a double in 37. So, you know, I'm looking...
Just don't go Iheanacho because he's not going to play.
Well, no, perhaps not.
I was paying.
Keep an eye on that. But they're top of the fixture ticker. But I think that's purely for the volume of fixtures that they've got. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Maddison. I'm looking at Harvey Barnes. Those would be my two options. I'm looking at Dewsbury Hall as well, who's 4.4 million. I think he's got to be the next budget enabler, hasn't he, really, at that price.
Yeah, definitely. If you are doing a bench boost and say you've not got a wild card or anything like that, if you've got, say, a budget goalkeeper on the bench, like when I had Scott Carson earlier in the season, just 4 million, taking up a space, who's definitely not going to play, is it still worth doing it, even though you're only going to get three players off the bench? Or would you happily take a hit to get in a goalkeeper that's playing?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, this week, when there's teams that double, I'd take a hit for a goalkeeper if they've got a double game week, yeah. I mean, you know, there's Leicester, you got Schmeichel for Leicester, Ramsdale for Arsenal, who've got a double, Nick Pope for Burnley, who have got a double. Not incredible options perhaps, but yeah, I definitely do. You've got to have all your players playing on a bench boost. You've got to try and maximise that chip. I think a good return for a bench boost is like 20 to 30 points on the bench.
But yeah, that would be great.
Which would be ideal. That's what I mean. I don't think it's the best chip. I think it's a difficult one to plan. It's a difficult one to use. You end up playing, you know, players that perhaps you wouldn't start. There's a bit of luck involved with a bench boost, and it probably is better to just get it out of the way and attack it as much as possible. I wish I could have attacked it straight away after playing the wild card, but then I realised that certain players weren't playing, and it was the right decision because I would have had about 2 points on the bench. there's decisions to make for me. But yeah, I think this week I just don't think I want to play the free hit. I mean, when you've got players like Liverpool are playing United, and I think Liverpool will absolutely tear them apart at Anfield. I really do.
The form they're in,
they've got to win every game.
Although the match last night against Benfica, it was all rosy and comfortable, and then all of a sudden it was 3-3.
Yeah, so absolutely.
There is holes to be picked at.
There are holes, and United may well score, but I think attacking wise, you know, I wouldn't be taking Salah out on a free hit, and I'd be nervous to take Alexander-Arnold out on a free hit. Spurs play Brighton, and Spurs are in the form of their lives. Man City play Brighton, and they've got to win every game, and Pep's spoken about wanting to boost the goal difference. So single game week options that a lot of us already own are very, very good. So why would you play a free hit and prioritise players from United who have got a double... Brighton, you're not going to get any because they play City and Tottenham. Arsenal are dipping because of Partey and Tierney being out. Burnley are useless, and Leicester might rotate. So Newcastle have got a decent double, so you'd maybe get some Newcastle players in on your free hit. But
we've fallen into that trap. I've fallen into that trap a couple of times this season where you see a very, very average footballer with a double game week. Maybe it would be like Pope and you go, oh, I've got a captain Nick Pope this week. He's playing Newcastle and Watford at home or whatever. And why would you do that when you could have Kane at, you know, Everton or something like that? You shouldn't be suckered in just because they've got two fixtures under their name.
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. And I think anybody that switches Kane to Ronaldo this week is a brave, brave person.
Ronaldo hardly touched it against Everton.
United have got a great fixture against Norwich, but then they go away to Anfield. I can see them struggling against Norwich. It is that bad at the moment at United. Mm. It really is. And I think... I just think you'd be very brave to take out someone like Kane for Ronaldo, to take out someone like Salah for Bruno Fernandes. I think Liverpool assets could outscore United in the double, and I think Spurs assets could outscore United in the double as well.
I think like this time of season is where teams who need results get results, because they've got a proper target in the end. I know Manchester United will probably still be thinking they could get Champions League football, but Tottenham are unstoppable at the moment, like you said. West Ham, they're in good form as well. But, you know, Manchester United don't necessarily have too much to play for, if you know what I mean. Obviously, they still want to get European football and they'll still at least get, like, the Conference League or whatever. But I don't feel like they've got as much desire as other teams around them.
No.
So,
and you've got, you've and got there, to go
and
with...
was a strange...
Sorry, Rich, go on.
I was going to say there was a strange team he played against Everton as well. He brought Wan-Bissaka back in and had Matic in midfield. And I don't know if that was because that was injuries or whatever. But
I think it was.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know whether it was just a rotation risk thing. But yeah, no, I wouldn't be too desperate to jump on the Manchester United bandwagon at the moment.
No, and I think the fixtures after aren't very good. But then obviously, the advantages of a free hit this week is you can put Bruno and Ronaldo in, and then they're out your team, because you're not going to want them. Mm. You're not going to want them long term. Not that there's long to go of the season, but I think if it doesn't sit right with you, you shouldn't do it. And I think at least in the last game week when Bruno went mad and everybody and lots of people brought him in, there were signs. He was showing some signs that he might come back into form, and then Ronaldo didn't play, and then Bruno does do better when Ronaldo's not in the team, and Ronaldo seems to do better when Bruno's not in the team. So look, I'm certainly not saying, you know, definitely avoid them. But I think if you've got two free transfers like me this week and you're not playing the free hit, I don't think I'm going to prioritise bringing United in. And I'm actually looking at single game week players just to plan for the rest of the season. I haven't got any City assets in at the moment. And and as I said, they want to boost their goal difference. Pepper's actually said it. They've got Brighton and then Watford and then Leeds and then Newcastle. I mean, those fixtures are insanely good.
Yeah, bottom half.
I mean,
bottom
I think...
Bottom half is perfect for them.
Perfect for them. I can see them winning every single game they've got left, scoring a load of goals. They've got a double to come as well in either 36 or 37. So for me, it's going to be about prioritising those City assets. I'm looking at... I need Cancelo. I'm looking at Foden. I'm looking at Sterling. I'm looking at De Bruyne. De Bruyne picked up a slight knock, so we need to just watch that for City. But I wouldn't be against bringing them in this week. I know they've only got a single game week, but it's against Brighton and they want to score goals and they need to win the game. So,
and Brighton have been, well, until they played Arsenal, had properly been on the slide.
Yeah.
Properly been on the slide. They were looking like they could get European football at the end. And in honesty, they probably needed that win against Arsenal to guarantee that they, you know, don't get dragged into a relegation fight, which is mad.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, Potter was the name on everyone's lips at the beginning of the season. You know, he's being touted with replacing Solskjaer and replacing Benitez and stuff. It was crazy. But now he's like mid-table Brighton. Back in your place. Good. Don't get carried away now.
And look, if you can get ahead of the game as well, because a lot of people are going to be wanting to bring City in for that Watford, Leeds, Newcastle fixture and then the doubles. So you'll have transfers that you can spend on other players if you focus on City this week. So I'm not against that at all. What about Chelsea? I mean, Kai Havertz, his stats are really, really, really good. He's top for midfielders under 8 million on all the attacking stats. And they've got a double in 36, a double in 37. They've just gone out of Europe.
Yeah, it looks good for them, doesn't it, really? They're still in the FA Cup, am I right in saying?
Yes, they've got semi-final against Crystal Palace this weekend.
That's right. It was kind of a strange one because everyone obviously noticed that 6-0 against Southampton and think, oh my God, Chelsea are absolutely flying back to their best. But let's not forget they got spanked by Brentford the week before that. It's one of them, and there's pros and cons to having Havertz. He's still the focal point of their attack. But in that game, was there six different goal scorers? I think there might have been. Maybe there was five different goal scorers. But, you know, he didn't get a hat-trick or anything like that in a game where it was 6-0, if you know what I mean. Like, not everything goes through him. Albeit, like you say, the stats back up that he's their best attacking outlet. But yeah, I've had him at other points in the season, and similar to Owen and Rafinha, you know he's got it in him to do something, but it falls to him in the 6-yard box and he like picks out the wrong pass, makes the wrong decision, that sort of thing. But when he delivers, oh, it's just so rewarding. Not that I've had that, but you know, when he does deliver, it pays off and you feel like an absolute FPL genius.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, I've got double Chelsea defence at the moment. I've got Rudiger and Thiago Silva. Rudiger's got some real attacking threat now, by the way. He's having like nearly three shots a game. I don't think the chances are too of that high quality, but he scored a couple of goals, and I think if you own him, you hold him. I think I'd maybe come off Thiago Silva as well. I just think two centre backs might be a bit much when I've got there's other fullbacks that I could be prioritising, like Reguilón, for instance. Now Doherty's injured, or even Sessegnon for Spurs. It's going to be interesting to see who Conte plays. But his wing backs are just like a cheat code, aren't they? In FPL, they're phenomenal going forward.
I got to say, I was so gutted to see Doherty go off injured. I was like, this is the one guy who I have like differential on the people around me. And yeah, he went off after like 25 minutes or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just agonising. As soon as you get one of these little gems, they break on you.
Yeah, I got lucky because I didn't own him. And on my wild card, I put in Eric Dier instead of Doherty because it was at that point where he hadn't nailed his spot. So that I think that was the one mistake I made on my wild card. So I got lucky. I got lucky this week. But because it looks like he might be out for the rest of the season,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Disappointing there. What about Diogo Jota for Liverpool? He seems to be coming back into form. Is it still too much of a risk?
That Liverpool front line has always been a little bit of a rotation risk. Not too much of a rotation risk, but now they've got Diaz in there as well. And Harvey Elliott, I know he plays a bit deeper, but they've got attacking options, haven't they? And they look so good. Like, I've got Luis Diaz at the moment, and I don't know what I was thinking of bringing him in. That was a stupid decision. But out of those five Liverpool attackers, Salah's going to always be the first choice for Klopp. Then probably Mane. And then it's either Jota or Firmino as the third choice forward. I think it's very hard to tell. He could dip in and out of either of them. And especially with them, you know, still fighting for a quadruple, there could be quite a lot of surprise selections in that front line. You know, he might even give... They've still got Origi? I think they've still got Origi, haven't they?
I think so. I'm not sure.
He could well come in for a game.
Origi is going. He's going over to Italy, isn't he, at the end of the season?
Oh, is he? Has he agreed to Bosman, yeah. But he's still there now, so he's another option as well. But like you say, you should be picking players on form if you're a manager in the Premier League. So Jota is on form, and he should probably get a chance to deliver in the Premier League again. But I don't know. It's another gamble, a bit like Havertz.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, great. Let's answer a few more questions from the Discord. If I want a Newcastle defender for the double game week, would you go someone like Shaw or Dubravka? That's from a friend of the pod, Steve.
I've got a mate who's a Newcastle fan, and he's absolutely obsessed with Fabian Schär. Like, he's obsessed. I don't even know why. He's a decent footballer. You know, he's not amazing, but he just pops up every now and then with a goal.
He does.
And I know Dubravka last season was worth his weight in gold for save points. I think he's been injured for quite a lot of this season. But just for the excitement, I'd probably just go for a bit of Scher. Why not?
I mean, in the last 6 game weeks, Fabian Schär has had 10 shots on goal. He's second.
Really?
He's second for Newcastle.
No.
Attacking threat. Yeah.
Behind Sam Maximan?
No, behind Bruno Guimarães.
Oh,
who's a cheeky option at 4.9 million, by the way, and looks good. Yeah. I don't know if he's FPL option, but yeah, I mean, I'd go Schär. Yeah, definitely. 4.4 million. They've got a double. Eddie Howe's got them really sorted at the back now, and I think they're much, much better in terms of clean sheet potential. And you've always got that goal threat with Schär. I mean, Crystal Palace and Leicester, pretty decent game week for them, double game week. Then they've got Norwich. Then they've got Liverpool, City, Arsenal. So tough to finish, and Burnley at the end. But I think if you want a player for the next 2 game weeks, Schär would be the one. I don't think Dubravka's a bad option, but Schär's got that goal threat. And you could see Palace maybe scoring. You could see Leicester maybe scoring. So I would go Schär. Connor McBain, who is still top of our triple captain fantasy league. ASM or Wood, Barnes or Dewsbury Hall, non-free hit.
ASM, Wood or Barnes, Dewsbury Hall. What, as in like combinations?
I don't know. I'm guessing he's asking ASM or Wood from Newcastle, Barnes or Dewsbury Hall from Leicester.
Barnes from Leicester.
Yep.
I'd say so. I think he's got more of an end product, and I think he plays a little further up the field. Well, he plays as a winger, doesn't he? Dewsbury Hall's more of a midfielder.
Yeah.
Oh, then Sam Maximan or Wood. Wood's not really impressed too much at Newcastle, whereas Sam Maximan's the man at Newcastle, isn't he, really? Like, he's the exciting one. All right, he doesn't really return too often. He's an FPL myth in many ways, but he does have a goal in him. And he's a striker as well, isn't he, in the game? So, you know, they're always hard to get a decent option out of in terms of forwards. So I'd take a punt on Sam Maximan. And when you're sat there watching Newcastle, every time Sam Maximan gets it and you've got him in your FPL team, oh, it's going to make it even more exciting. Yeah, I'd do that. I'd do Barnes and Alan Sam Maximan.
Yeah, I'd go Barnes and Wood, just for security of starts for Chris Wood, and he's on penalties.
True.
He's got a decent XG in his last 6 games, top of Newcastle. So there's a chance that he starts scoring. And you know, I remember for Burnley, he'd pop up now and again with a brace, wouldn't he? And I think he has got that in him. But look, I don't love either of them, to be honest. But I would probably go Wood over Sam Maximan just for that security. And yeah, Barnes's stats for Leicester are really, really good. He's had more shots than Kevin De Bruyne in the last 6 game weeks. So I think he's a great option. But again, you've got to wait and see on Leicester, because I'd be worried if they get through in Europe. I think Barnes could then be rested. So there's that rotation risk. So wait for that game tonight. Wait for Rodgers' press conference to get an idea. But yeah, I think that's the difficult thing. He also put all Madison. I'd still prioritise Barnes over Madison for now. Finally, from the Discord, Beth Gray, we'd be interested to know which premiums you are looking at for the rest of the season. Budget won't stretch to all. Who are your top 3? I presume Beth means premium attackers rather than defenders. I mean, it's quite easy to pick a top. I mean, I think really you can't fit 3 in, can you, of KD?
No.
You couldn't have KDB, Salah and Kane, could you, for instance? I think you've got to choose. You've got to make a decision. It's, again, I think it'd be a really brave person to go off Kane, but I'm so, so interested in KDB if he's fit.
Yeah, for me it would be Salah, De Bruyne, and Kane. If I was to have 3, which I won't do. If I was to have 2, it would probably be. I'd probably say Salah and Kane, maybe just for the form that Kane's in, perhaps. And you know he's going to start every game, whereas there's a chance De Bruyne's going to get dropped.
I think if I was in your position, I think if I was in your position, Rich, and your position, Ben, I'd go KDB, because you're chasing.
Totally.
He's a differential. As we spoke about City. Go on, Ben. Sorry.
8.6% selected. Amazing fixture run. And I did see a stat the other day about his last year fixture run in KDB. I can just see him turning it on. Yeah. Like, he's just central.
He's
to got
to be
team.
Fit, though.
He's central to that league winning team. He's got to be fit. Yeah.
He went off injured last night, so we've got to wait on news. But if he's fit, absolutely. He's central. He's nailed. He's so hungry. He's got goal and assist threat. You know, he was one of the best FPL assets, wasn't he? I don't know whether it was last season or the season before injury kind of took over. So, yeah, I think if I was in your two positions, I'd prioritise bringing in KDB.
All right, what if I was to change Beth's question ever so slightly? If it had to be either Son or Kane for the end of the season, for the rest of the season, I should say.
I think it's such a tough decision, that one. I was looking at this earlier because there's not much to choose between them at all. And I think if you own either one, you hold. I certainly wouldn't be switching either of them out at the moment. So I know that's a little bit of a cop-out. If I had a blank slate and I had to choose one, I'd probably go Son, because I think what you could do with that blank slate is you could probably fit in Son, KDB and Salah just, and then have budget strikers. But then, I mean, there's not much, price-wise, there isn't that much difference either. So it's such a tough decision. I mean, I own Kane and I think unless I do something mad and switch him out for KDB this week with my two frees, I'm not gonna bring in Son as well, because I've got Kulusevski as well, so I've kind of made my bed.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and you can't move off Kulusevski. Absolutely not.
Well, I think you can. I think you can actually, because of his price point.
Mm.
I think if you're moving him out for, say, Foden,
right?
Quite happy with that. If you're moving him out for a Leicester midfielder who's got all those doubles and Kulusevski hasn't, I'm okay with that as well. So, okay. But I wouldn't move off Son or Kane. I know it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I'm glad we've cleared this up for you, Beth. That's we provide a service here. God. should we wrap up?
Yes, that's bang on half an hour, and I think we covered quite a good amount there. Really, I know. I mean, it would have been great to go through an ideal free hit squad for 33, but I think because none of us are doing it, it's difficult to find that time to go, right, here's who I'd pick, you know. And actually, none of us are that turned on by a free hit this week, are we, with those options?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the fact that we've got all three of us onto the podcast for a quick half an hour chat,
it's not bad.
It's just nice. It's a lovely day outside, and you know, I'm inside in the kitchen doing a podcast. It's gorgeous.
So just quickly before we go, I think we've got to talk about captain, because I think that's going to be a really interesting decision this week with double game weeks and those single game week fixtures. Who are you on at the moment?
At the moment, it's on Kane. It could well move, but I'm not 100% who to. Part of me wants to go for Robertson, just because Manchester United are pretty toothless at the moment, and they've got to go to Anfield, and you know, it's gonna be a hard day for Manchester United at Old Trafford. How did they get on last season at Anfield? How did they get on at Anfield last season?
I think.
Can you remember?
I think we drew.
Was it Lingard scored?
I can't remember what happened, but I think we did okay. But yeah,
I might look into that.
You're right.
I mean, they'll up their game, presumably Manchester United for Liverpool.
I can see United scoring. There are holes there.
I can see what you can't remember.
Did we get battered?
Oh, sorry. That was at Old Trafford, yeah, in the season. It was 5-0, yeah.
Yeah, Salah scored a hat-trick.
It was actually a draw. It was the Sunday, the 17th of January, 2021, the last time they played at Anfield. And it was a glorious day. I woke up and... Sorry. 0-0 it was at Anfield.
Oh, okay.
And it's been a few...
So there's stuff to think about. But at the moment, it's on Kane. But it could well move to a Liverpool player.
Yeah, I think it depends with me all on my transfers. I'm really happy that I feel like it's the first time I've had two free transfers in ages. So I think what I'll probably do is make three moves, take a -4, and prioritise getting Cancelo. I may move off Robertson, stick with TAA, just because I prefer Cancelo's fixtures and I want that City asset. So I think I'll probably get Cancelo in this week. And I think Captain Salah. I really do. Kane is an option at home to Brighton, but I think, I don't think as many people do it.
He's not been on one.
People, I know, but people get, he's underperforming though. His stats are still incredible. And I think people get put off when anybody plays United just because it's still that, they've still got that, you know,
heritage.
That name, exactly. So I think he'll be...
And that works in your favour in the Champions League now, isn't that? Absolutely mind-boggling.
I think I'm on Captain Salah at the moment against United. It may change depending on the moves I make, but I think I'll more than likely go for a City or a Liverpool or a Spurs asset single game week rather than a double game week player.
Yeah, I think that'd be sensible.
What about you, Ben?
Sorry, I'm going to sneeze.
You think you just convinced me to do Captain Salah, actually?
Yeah.
I think you just convinced me. But I might bench boost this week. I've just had a look at... I've been sitting here quietly just doing different combinations. And I think I might bench boost this week.
I might out the as way. Well. Yeah, I might as well. Yeah. It depends what I need to... I mean, I've got Rafinha, so he needs to come out. But, I mean, my other... I'd probably want to move off Gordon.
Yeah, he's a good enabler, though, isn't he, really, Gordon? And he's going to play most games, I think. I've got Sarr in goal. Would you transfer him out? If you were me, because I might just leave him in, you know.
I think just leave your goalkeeper now. Yeah.
Yeah, not too bothered really about him. He only ever really gets 3 points anyway, so at best.
Oh, I see. Because he's not going to play.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. My other goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'd move off him. I'd get Schmeichel for those Leicester fixtures. Yeah.
Right.
Sweet. I guess all that's left to say is follow us at PL Triple Cap on Twitter and click on the link to join the Discord and ask any questions you've got over there and we'll answer them on the next podcast. How about that? Cool. Well, it was nice to have everybody back on the chat once more. And hopefully we'll do it again soon. Best of luck for game week 33, everyone.
Yep. Good luck, everyone.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.